not fair to connect the dots. If you don't, I will. This is your host, Tom Edison. Edison as in the light bulb, Edison. Okay, did the light bulb go off in your head? Well, anyhow, you should have been up dancing with that music. When I hear it, I can't help but dance myself. Anyway, hey, welcome to the new world. Welcome to Rocktober. Hey, where did you hear that before? Yeah, it's Rocktober. You know, we're in October and it's rocking month. And I just want to let everybody know it's going to be rock and roll talk all next week and quite a bit of tonight, too. Hey, you know, just to bring us a little into the future, even though the only real time is now, next week is John Lennon's birthday. Yeah, that's right, October 9th, John Lennon's birthday. And I have a few words to say about that, because if there was ever a rock and roll icon, it's John Lennon, along with all the other great rock and roll icons. In fact, next week, I'm going to be interviewing the daughter of Elvis Presley. Yeah, Elvis Presley, one of the greatest icons of rock and roll of all time. His heyday, known as the king of rock and roll. Well, I'm going to be talking live to his daughter next week on October 9th to make it a really rocking October. Rocktober, yeah. But while we're talking about rock and roll, you know, there needs to be a whole section of world history that deals with rock and roll that hasn't been dealt with there. You know, it's changed the culture of the world. It's changed America for the better. And of course, government was always against it. It still is. They don't like music because music brings people together. Governments are all about control and taking away your rights and abusing you. And I just wanted to go back and refresh everybody's mind, if you're not that familiar with the all the wonderful things that rock and roll has brought us. You know, back in the old days, way back, let's say the time of Jesus or something, even before that, there were the people who went around trying to spread wisdom and logic, and they were called the soothsayers. Mm-hmm. And, hey, in fact, I had that, I used that term in one of my videos, in the middle of my Subway Fantasy 2 rock and roll documentary. There's a song called Now's the Time, and, hey, now is the time. That's right, I'm a songwriter. I write songs that have messages to them, and I do, and I have songs that are just plain fun to listen to and dance to. Yeah, and I use that word, the soothsayer. But anyhow, during, you know, right after World War II, the music, the new music, starting with the backbeat, you know, came from the blues that was sung by the Afro-Americans in their culture, teamed up with the jazz, teamed up with the other types of music. And it was a rebellious sound, but it had a beat to it, and it caught people's attention. And when we started to listen to the words, they were very philosophical. Oh, yeah. You know, if we go back to the blues players, the original of Adventures of the Blues, you know, the disenfranchised Afro-Americans who managed to get themselves a guitar and sing the blues about the truth about society, you know? It had a message to it that common people could relate to. And then it progressed. Rock and roll music became philosophical, you know? the kids of the 1950s and 1960s, they weren't going to church and getting a spiritual education from the preachers. They were getting a spiritual education from the music. And it was rock and roll that was doing it, and the predecessors of rock and roll. And let me just give you a few examples of how the music was giving the culture, the youth culture, philosophical messages through the songs. The words had philosophical messages. A lot of them did. It wasn't just mushy, I'll love you till the end of time, which is not a bad idea anyhow. But here's a perfect example. A record cut by the famous Paul Simon of Simon and Garfunkel, where he says in a line, he says, "When I think back of all the crap I learned in high school, it's a wonder I can think it all." Yeah, think about that. When I think about all the crap I learned in high school, it's a wonder I can think at all. Well, if government was responsive to what was being said there, they would have changed the education system immediately. You know, because if we look at the education system now, it's not even an education system. It doesn't even qualify for that anymore. You look at the pictures on the news, you got everyone isolated in the classroom, masks on, shields around them. They're all in their little cubicles. That's not an education system. That's a prison system, you know? And how can you possibly have a proper interaction with students, you know? I remember when I was back in school, you know, we didn't have any of that crap going on. And there were a few teachers that gave us real lessons. They weren't out of the textbook. It was when they stopped and talked to the class and just gave us a personal story. You know, I can remember when I was in art class, the teacher gave us this story about when you notice synchronicities in life, you need to stop and pay attention to that. You know, such things as you start singing a song and then you turn on the radio and the same song is playing on the radio. Those are important parts of life to think about and think about how that happened. The synchronicity of it. But back to the rock and roll. Another great statement by a famous band, Led Zeppelin. We've all heard of them. They had one of the most considered one of the most greatest songs of all time, rock and roll recordings, called "Stairway to Heaven." And if you listen to the words to that record, there are so many great philosophical statements being made in that that will cause you to think. And it's a commentary on society and the way people act. It was a philosophical lesson put into a song. And my favorite line in that song is, "There's still time to change the road you're on." What a philosophical message that is. Awesome. You know? And I'm sure that changed the life of many people when they heard that message. But if it goes back, it starts way back before that. It starts in the 50s. You know, when people like Elvis Presley were singing music that had been deemed rhythm and blues or black people's music. You know, and a lot of those songs had messages to them, you know? And I can think of one that most people don't think about. And it was out of a movie. You know, in fact, that was the name of the movie, the hit song, "Follow That Dream." You got to follow that dream until that dream comes true. That's a philosophical message and a good positive one, too. And you ought to look it up on the computer, Google it, listen to the words. It's philosophical. the teenage idol himself, Ricky Nelson, from the 50s and early 60s. He had a song out there, It's Up to You. You know where I stand, so I'm leaving it up to you. That's a philosophical message. And then we have countless philosophical messages coming from people like the Beatles. You know, that might be partly why they were so famous, as because they wrote songs that had philosophical meanings to it. And it was part of the music culture. And it rang a bell and people connected with it. And they were teaching us philosophy. They were teaching us wisdom with the songs they were writing. The perfect example is one of their biggest hits of all time, She Loves You. You know, the key line in there, pride can hurt you too, apologize to her. That's philosophical. You know? And of course it fit in the song too, you know, and it's glorifying the fact to be happy. The girl loves you, man, be happy. That's philosophical. And, come on, the Beatles, All You Need Is Love. That says it all right there. It couldn't be any more plainer than that. All you need is love. And that's what we need right now. That's what's going on in our world now. Love is going to defeat the darkness. We just have to get all on the bandwagon and understand that is the truth. The truth of light versus darkness, you know? We've had it with the darkness. The darkness is trying to kill us off with the population vaccines. And the way to defeat it is with love. Of course, they're making it real difficult for us because they're keeping our minds occupied with the suffering they're creating on purpose. And that's to keep our minds occupied on things we shouldn't be thinking about. But if we think back to the great rock and roll records of the 1950s and 1960s, and focus on the messages that were there. You know? Great songs from like Bob Dylan, you know, Positively 4th Street. I wish you could stand in my shoes and know what a drag it is to see you, talking about the hypocritical, no good people in our world that we were surrounded by. You know, it was philosophical. There was a message there. And it was a helpful message in certain ways. But all you need is love. That's the key phrase there. You know, right now there's star seeds represented, people representing the Pleiades star system. They're here on our planet to what's called anchor love. They're envisioning pillars of white light coming through the top of their head and going down to the earth, connecting the earth with the cosmic central sun that radiates pure white light. And the white light, when it hits the center of the earth, it helps raise the frequency. Love is a high frequency, so the more frequency we can raise ourselves, the quicker we'll get to what's known as the ascension of planet Earth, the age of Aquarius. When the vibrations get high enough, evil can no longer exist. The dark forces can't exist in higher vibrations. We have to vibrate high enough out of their reach. And then we'll be free as a bird. Another great statement from the Beatles. John Lennon in particular, singing Free as a Bird. And but if we look back, you know, to those songs, look them up on the, you younger people, look them up on the internet. You know the great bands of the, we're all familiar with the great bands of the 60s and stuff. So much philosophy, you know. A great song by the Youngbloods from the 1960s, Come On People Now. Smile on your brother, everybody get together, love one another. you know, great messages, and spiritually uplifting to humanity. We need to hear those records again. We need to hear those recordings. We need to sing along with them. Because that is the spirit of involving humanity. You know, you need to study the 1960s especially. Because that's when it, you know, the ice was broken. Started with the Beatles and the British invasion. And it opened up the music world to great songwriting, songs that had messages on purpose put into them. You know? And they were leading a whole generation of young people to gain wisdom and gain insight into the world they were surrounded by. And the revolution was started back then, but it was stifled out eventually by the corporate world. And now the music industry, it's a bunch of deadbeats. It's too corporate-owned, it's too negative, and it's there are no great philosophical songs being sung now, really. Or if they are, they're not being promoted like they were in the 1960s and 70s. And that's an important part to understand, that the evolution of man was being changed by rock and roll. It started with the beat and the entertaining language of the blues songs. And it progressed into the explosion of ideas that the Beatles set the stage for. They cut the new path through the woods. They created the new path for the music to evolve and influence society in a positive way. Like, everything about the Beatles was about love. I mean, you know, take a look at their songs. It's all out there for free. You can listen to it all. You can listen to other great artists that were singing, you know, philosophical songs. So many of them. We need to go back and listen to those songs again to remind us about what humanity should be. And the more of us do this, we add to the collective consciousness of humanity, you know? Because if we all could participate in the collective consciousness, add to it in unison, and think about loving vibrations, loving things, smiling at other people, opening a door for somebody, you know, giving somebody a hug of love, and project that feeling into you. You know, I've had some amazing experiences happen to me in my life. That's why I tell every week, I tell you, buy my book, download it, whatever, Connect the Dots Theories, because I have the amazing stories in that book. You know, like the girl who gave me a hug, and out of nowhere, she jolted me with like 10,000 volts of love like I had never felt in my life. I don't know how she did it, but she did it by just giving me a simple hug. And boy, did that feel good, let me tell you. You know, it's a minor regret in my life that I never got her phone number to reconnect with her, but I met her out at a gathering out there in the wilderness. Look them up, gatherings, national gatherings. National gatherings of the tribes, American Indian tribes we're talking about. You know, there's a lot of that in my book. I've drawn pictures of what goes on there. I have photographs in some of the events I attended, and the magic that happened at these gatherings. It's an education in itself, and it's a spiritual connection just to hear about it. But again, it's all, you know, we can all connect it to rock and roll, because rock and roll was the medium for the new philosophies. The new words of wisdom were coming out of rock and roll songs from the 1950s to the 1960s to the 1970s. Those were the decades when humanity was being lifted up by the music. Not to mention, it inspired us all to dancing. And I have to mention it, it's only been up for a week or two now, but my latest rock and roll documentary, because it's important to review what's been done before. And my Subway Fantasy 3. You don't even have to, it's on YouTube, but you don't even have to go there. Just Google it, you know, on the Google search bar, you know, Subway Fantasy. You got to spell it right correctly, as I spell it, P-H-A-N-T-E-S-Y, Subway Fantasy 3. And you'll see how the music inspired the dancing. And that's what Subway Fantasy 3 is about, basically. It's showing music from the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s that was inspired by the music. And that is part of the historical evolution of humanity, especially here in the United States and other countries where they it was allowed to happen. Of course, England was right along with us there, or the United Kingdom, with their British invasion. But there's a connection there from what I picked up, you know. And a lot of what I've learned, you know, is, we could call it secondhand information, but the stories are out there. You know, there's the story of, whether it's true, but it makes sense. There's the story of, again, next week it's John Lennon's birthday. And as the story goes, John Lennon, who was raised by his aunt mostly because there was family problems with his mother and his father, and his mother died at an early age. He was young when his mother died in a tragic car accident. She was hit by a car crossing the street, something like that. And so he was raised by his aunt, and one, as the story goes, one day, and this must have been back in 1956, making him about 16 years old, or 15, yeah, 15 probably, because his birthday comes up later in the year. The record we're talking about here is Heartbreak Hotel. Elvis Presley, yeah, the big hit that made him the world star that he held on title to for a long, long time. Well, in England, they didn't have immediate record distribution of American records, but they apparently, the youth culture liked what they did get to hear coming out of America. And as the story goes, John Lennon's aunt comes back from shopping, and she goes to John and says, "You got to listen to this record I bought. You never heard anything like it." And the record was Heartbreak Hotel. So, assuming that was a true story, we can see that how the, you know, the first major breakthrough of rock and roll by Elvis Presley with his record Heartbreak Hotel, the baton was being passed to a future leader of rock and roll, John Lennon, by allowing him to get to hear that record back in the year 1956 when he was 15 years old. No doubt it did influence. And if you ever listen to the record, Heartbreak Hotel, well, if you haven't, you need to. it's like one of the greatest rock and roll recordings of all time, because it's all there, you know, the feeling, the singing, perfect pitch, the beat, the groove, and the musicianship. And it was, you know, a new type of sound that was being coined with that one particular record. And that was the beginning of Elvis Presley's worldwide famous career, of which he followed up with many hits. And if you're not familiar with some of these things, you ought to be, because it's an important part of the history of humanity. Hey, this is Rocktober, and this is why I'm talking about rock and roll and the importance it has on the evolution of humanity. You know, Elvis Presley was such a great star. He influenced the world so much. You know, he's kind of forgotten right now because a lot of the young people out, they don't even get to hear about people talking about it that much. But I'm talking about it tonight because I say, like, next week on my show, I'm going to have the daughter of Elvis Presley talking about her family and what the Presley family is offering independent artists, and the ability for you to do the right things to get the royalties of your music is out there, because from my personal conversations with her, apparently we're all getting ripped off. Even though we think we have contracts with companies, the companies have all these scams. They only pay us a portion of what we're deserved, you know. And so you're going to want to hear about that if you're a musician. If you're listening to me, you know people who are musicians, especially independent ones, and not famous yet. You want to know about, there's a way, all the things you have to do to get your royalties, and that's going to be revealed next week on my show. During the course of the conversation. But anyhow, here's another aspect that people don't connect. I mean, I'm a student of rock and roll history, so I pretty much know what I'm talking about. And in fact, in my Subway Fantasy 3, I've spanned the gap with one particular artist who I claim had the first rock and roll record back in 1951 called Rockin' and Rollin'. Hey, it's got the term coined there long before Alan Freed claimed that he coined the term. It was there with a record back in 1951. You know, the record company didn't make a hit out of it because I guess they didn't give it the proper promotion. A defunct record company, I think it was called Cadillac Records or something like that. But that was the record. This young teenager from Philadelphia, Charlie Gracie, who at 15 years of age, he cut an album. And one of the songs on that album was Rockin' and Rollin'. Great song. You'll hear some of it in my rock and roll documentary, Subway Fantasy 3. And because this gentleman has rock and rolled his whole life, even though he got blackballed by the big companies for a ridiculous reason, because he wasn't getting paid and he asked for his money, they tried to really screw him over. They blackballed him, and they ended his career back in worldwide career, basically, back in the 50s. And he had to, you know, just continue to go out and playing, and he's been doing it his whole life. Well, he made an album back in 2011. That, and there's a song in that on that album back in 2011. That's also in my Subway Fantasy 3 rock and roll documentary. So we're talking a span of 60 years there, still making rock and roll records. And the record rocks. Better than anything else that was put out in 2011. Pure rock and roll. Dance music, too. And the video in my Subway Fantasy 3 proves it's dance music. So that's a 60-year gap. I mean, that's why I call it a rock and roll documentary, because I bring out these things that people don't get to hear, because mainstream media only concentrates on the people that made it famous, according to the record companies. You know, that gentleman had a big hit in 1957 called Butterfly. He sold 3 million copies. But shortly after that, they blackballed him because he hadn't got paid by the record companies. You know, he sold 3 million records. Well, that's an old, long-time story. You know, and that's how the big companies screw people all the time that have talent, you know. Like many of the original blues artists, they got screwed big time by the record companies, you know. They got paid a bottle of booze and a hooker for the record session, and that was it. No royalties on the records or anything like that. Or something similar of that vein. Anyhow, that's why you're going to want to tune in next week, because you're going to hear there's a new thing has been set up that independent artists can do certain things to assure that they will get royalties from their music being put out there without getting cheated by the big record companies or music companies or whatever they call themselves now. You know, entertainment corporations, you know, whatever. But here's a little bit of rock and roll history that, because I've studied it pretty well. You know, I just gave you the story about, well, how Elvis might have influenced the Beatles. John Lennon might have got some inspiration from hearing Elvis Presley's first worldwide hit record, Heartbreak Hotel. But this is an easy thing to find. The press conference when the Beatles invaded America, they got off the plane and the press was there to meet them, and they asked them a lot of questions. And the Beatles had, you know, they were grouping on the whole thing and having a grand time, you know. And some reporter says, "You're nothing but four Elvis Presleys." And they all laughed at that and started to gyrate like Elvis used to do with his hip shake and everything like that. And, you know, just to goof on the press, like, yeah, sure, whatever you say. But if anything, when you know your history of rock and roll, and you've seen, and there's plenty of videos out there on Ricky Nelson. Well, if anything, a better description of the Beatles, of course, what did the reporters know? They weren't rock and roll enthusiasts. They were sent out there to do a job. And just like ask stupid questions, because that was their job. If you watch all the videos by Ricky Nelson, and he had a TV show back in the 50s, which actually made him the second most popular record salesperson in America during the 50s. The only person that sold more records than Ricky Nelson was Elvis Presley. But he had the TV show that made him the most popular teenager of all times. His parents had the TV show. And just about every week, from the first time he appeared playing a guitar and singing a song on his show, every week he would have another song. And then he had a band backing him up, a band that kind of resembled the Beatles. Two guitars, bass player, and a drummer. And if you listen to all the records he recorded and watch the videos of his band and how they played rock and roll, you could say the Beatles were more like four Ricky Nelsons, because the format that Ricky Nelson created with the two guitars, bass, and drums was the format that they went with. Of course, you know, they reinvented a presentation of it with three lead singers. Well, Ricky Nelson was only one lead singer, and that was part of the magic of the Beatles. How they had three lead singers, John, Paul, and George. George, lead singer, too. In fact, if you ever did your study of the Beatles, you'd know that before the Beatles became famous, George was probably singing most of the songs. Yeah. Yeah. John, a real close second behind him, and Paul didn't sing that many. But, George was one of the major vocalists in the band before they became world famous, when they were playing other people's songs. He fell in the background because John and Paul were able to write more songs than him, and eventually they basically were doing just mostly their songs. So we can think of the Beatles being more like four Ricky Nelsons, but nobody ever brought that up. But if you watch the videos, the evidence is there. In fact, when the Beatles came out, they had different chord structures. It wasn't the same four-chord rock and roll that everybody else had been using for a long time. They were using a lot of minor chords and stuff like that, and they came up with unique combinations that expanded the old format into an unlimited format of an unbelievable amount of possibilities. But there were early songs from 63 and 64. Of course, we didn't know about them in 63, really. But they were famous over in Britain already in 1963 and some of the European countries. And it was a song that Ricky Nelson put out in, I think, 62 or 63. It was called It's Up to You. The video's out there. And you listen to the chord structures there, and that's an early Beatles song. I don't know whether they intentionally copied that or not. It doesn't matter. But I'm saying the format for the invention of Beatlemania was actually there being laid out by Ricky Nelson in his four-piece band with two guitars, a bass, and a drum. That's a bit of rock and roll history you're not going to hear anywhere else. But I'm a student of rock and roll history, and that's why I can tell that story. Well, it's Rocktober, and that's why I'm talking about rock and roll. And we had the social political songs of the 60s, you know, that were against what the government was doing with the Vietnam War and stuff like that. Plenty of them out there. And we had the commentary on the social system and government, Pink Floyd. You know, we don't need no thought control. Apparently, government just ignored that because that's what it's all about now with government. It's hard to get away from what government's doing. It's sad. I was listening to Charles Green, the show, the E.T. Yoga, the show before mine, and sometimes I listen to the show before mine. I always, quite often listen to E.T. Yoga because the guy brings a lot of important information to humanity. And he was talking about some of the bad things that are going on with the so-called vaccine, which can't be a vaccine by definition. It's the gene therapy changing your DNA, and that some horrible things will be the results of this, people allowing this to be done to them, you know. Unfortunately, the sheeple are brainwashed, and government is brainwashing everyone with the TV, and I talked about this before, how it's done. And they said not only are they just outrightly brainwashing you with the words you hear, but there's a subliminal message that's going on. TV signals can be used as carrier waves for other things that are put, it's the frequencies that enter into your subconscious. Yeah, this is all high-tech science being used in a bad way. But this is what we're being subjected to. And the remedy is love. Again, let's go back to the Beatles and all the great loving songs of the 1960s. All you need is love. Well, we can even go back to further to the Elvis Presley. Come on, he had Love Me Tender. He had Loving You and a whole mess of other songs related to love. And I've said it before, but I'll say it again. One of the magic things about Elvis, and you'll probably hear me say it next week too, is that his voice had the ability to affect the animal kingdom in a good way. And in my life, I put that to the test. In fact, the story, it's one of the stories, amazing stories in my book, Connect the Dots Theory, where I put it to the test. I went out there with a guitar next to a pond where I knew frogs were in, because I had built a piece of property. I had built a pond for frogs. Put one in there and others showed up. And I played the, went out there in this pond area. It was like fenced off, a little kind of reservation for the animals. And had a big pond in it. And I sat there on a stone and started playing Elvis songs because, you know, it was a rock and roll student. I know about the early Elvis songs, and they're easy to do, you know, basic three chord songs. And I started singing Love Me Tender. Rod pops out of the water, starts singing along with me. Yeah. Butterflies show up. Dragonflies show up. A snake rolls by on the edge there, a little garden snake. And they all came out, you know. And then the birds in the trees, they started singing along too. And I've put this to the test many times, even without a guitar. I like to go into the woods now and then just to be amongst trees and nature. I like being around trees. And there's usually birds in trees, and I'll have them chirping, and I'll start singing those early Elvis love songs, because these are the songs that had the magic of, you know, effect somehow. And sure enough, whatever the birds were chirping about, they will stop. If I'm singing an Elvis song like Love Me Tender or Loving You, they will stop their chitter-chatter and start singing along with what I'm doing in their own little birdie voices, you know. And I notice the animals don't try to do the same thing you're doing. They try to do something that's a harmony to what you're doing. I mean, isn't this amazing? It's the power of love, and it's the power of the voice of Elvis, too. But love is a powerful force. And if you ever come in contact with creatures and out in the wild and you project love, you just have to think it. And maybe give them a little encouragement, like, you're here, or call them something nice, you know, it has a loving tone to it. They will come over to you and interact with you in a loving way. That's how powerful love is. And that's what we need to incorporate into the collective consciousness of humanity. I heard an amazing thing on the show, ET Yoga, right before mine, right before the end of the show. Charles Green himself said that he was talking to somebody who gets has some kind of you know, psychic connection to the Sirium from the Sirius star system, telepathic communication, whatever you want to call it, channeling. And the statement was made from that source that if 2/3 of humanity were aware of what's being done to them by the evil governments and rejected it and put their collective minds together in a collective consciousness, we could end this crazy insanity that government is imposing on us with the vaccines and the lockdowns and all the other crap that goes along with it, the mask wearing. So, it's just a number there, 2/3 of humanity. It's quite a lot, though, but apparently we're not there yet. So we need to go out and do our share of either using your body as a conduit for the light. The light is out in our whole system, solar system is flooded with light out there. But, you know, we have to use our bodies to help funnel it down into the center of Mother Earth. You know, the center of Mother Earth has a crystal in it. You know, the old textbooks, again, public education's brainwashing, told us that the center of the Earth was molten lava only. Well, there might be molten lava. In fact, we know there is an area of molten lava in the center of the Earth. That's what funnels the volcanoes. But there's also a giant crystal, quartz crystal, in the center of the Earth. And that's what the light needs to connect with it. And the best path to get that light there is to funnel it through the chakras of your body. We all have chakras. And if you don't know about it, that you need to find out. Again, that's basic information. And that basic information is in my book, Connected to Siri. I'm telling you, you can't get more education in 2 hours. It shouldn't take you more than 2 hours to read it. But it's packed with knowledge, no filler. And you'll find out things that are very important to understanding how the whole big picture works. And, the book is there for you to teach yourself and educate yourself about many things you perhaps don't know about. I know just about all of you don't know about the creatures that fly around just out, that leave light trails. They're out there all the time. You can't see them because they're in a frequency range that our normal sight can't see them, but the camera can pick them up to prove they're there. And I've got plenty of pictures of that. And, wouldn't you like to know what's around you all the time? If you got a spruce tree on your property, that's the place to go out at night and take real film pictures, not digital. 35 millimeter will work. The faster the speed, the better. But even 400 is you can pick it up with. I started out with 1,000 real high fast film, but I found you could pick up these things even with 400 or 800 film speed. Talking about the speed there. Well. Let me give everybody some good advice. Don't let the government trick you into doing something stupid, like allowing a stranger to inject poisons into your body. And what can I say? You know, there's three great declarations of sovereignty. This is something everybody should do. If you haven't declared your declaration of sovereignty, chances are the government owns you. Or owns your mind or is controlling your mind, you know? And the way you regain your sovereignty, you know, is to declare it. And there's three great declarations of sovereignty out there on Twitter. The person posting that, their hashtag is TorianLight888, I think. But probably be easier to pick it off my Twitter account, you know. I've got an easy one. At Tom Edison Prez, P-R-E-Z. You know, TomEdisonPrez. And I just retweeted them just the other day. So you can go to my my tweet page and just scroll down and you'll find it. And then enlarge it because it's kind of small. And then speak those declarations of sovereignty out loud. And you will be freeing yourself and re-declaring your sovereignty and taking control of your life. It's an important thing to do. You know? Just like it's an important thing to raise the frequency of your body, you know? And government is doing everything to lower your frequency. Wearing a mask lowers your frequency. You know, your life force, I've said it before, but I'll say it again because there might be people listening who never heard this before. Your life force, half of your life force is your breath. That's right, your breath. And your breath contains the amount of oxygen that you can bring into your system, and your system works better with more oxygen. You put a mask on, you're limiting yourself, and you'll therefore be lowering your frequency. And it'll make it harder for you to join in the ascension and contribute to the ascension. The more of us that are vibrating higher, the collective consciousness of humanity begins to vibrate higher, which affects the consciousness of Mother Earth to vibrate higher. Whatever we can do to cause ourselves to vibrate higher, we should do it. Give me someone a good hug. Forget about this make-believe germ shit. You know, human bodies were designed to deal with germs. You know, it's called natural immunity. These quack doctors that have tried to take control of your immune system, they're quacks. It's bad science. I don't, you know, and they keep talking about surveys and stuff. They never proved anything. They just talk about this. We don't know if it's true or not. Or are they being monitored when they do this? Probably not. You know, the scientists that work for the pharmaceutical companies, the order is given out. I want you to create this product to do this. And then they manipulate the tests to pretend they've got something that'll do it. And it's a horrible system. It's not based on truth. I mean, first of all, big pharmacy products only deal with the physical aspects of your body. If you have an understanding of what real health care is, you got to deal with the whole body. That's the physical body, but the four overlaying invisible layers that make up your body. You know, and the, probably the most important ones are the chakras. They need to be spinning fast enough again. That's why you want to speed up the vibrations. You don't want to slow them down. Wearing a mask slows them down. Putting more poisons in your system with vaccines slows down your vibrations. It doesn't uplift you. It just creates more work for your poor body, your natural immune system to deal with. The immune system doesn't need things put it into action. It knows how to put itself into action. Putting poisons in people's body just makes your body work harder to get rid of the new poisons that have entered the system. That's why you should never let anybody inject anything into your body. You know, of course, people fall into the trap, you know? You're listening to the commercials on TV that tell you to buy junk food and, you know, and you do everything. You drink tap water. You do everything stupid. You breathe in unhealthy air. And, of course, they're poisoning the air. We all breathe with small chemicals that can get into our body. We inhale them when they finally fall to ground. The chemtrail planes, yeah, they're doing that. Why isn't government stopping? You're supposed to protect us from this. No, they're part of the sham. But all these bad things are doing to you until you run your body down so far, you're being shipped to the emergency room, and then they subject you to all their fake shit that stops the situation from you completely dying sometimes. And and then inject you with all kinds of fake shit that will not really cure you or really solve the problem. If you don't address the underlying issue, and the underlying issues always have to do with negative energy fields, your chakras slowing down or completely stopped in some cases, and those things are not being dealt with, but that's where the real problems are. And then there's all the psychological problems that are created by, a rotten society where government allows you to be subjected to this. So you need to think about all these things, and you need to understand your future is more dependent on you, especially when you start taking command of your life. And the first thing you need to do, I said, is speak your declaration of sovereignty and then start making intelligent choices. All the information is out there if you look for it. You know, remember the X-Files? The information is out there. Yeah, it is. But you got to look for it on your own, and you got to learn to make intelligent choices and gain an understanding of a bigger picture and connect the dots correctly. And this is Connect the Dots Radio Show. There was a video going on behind us all the time I was talking, in case you didn't know. There will be a video going behind next week when I'm talking more rock and roll, and I'm talking with the Elvis Presley family. That's right. And like I said, all you musicians, you're going to want to hear about what the Elvis Presley family is doing for rock and roll artists. They've created a system by which you can protect yourself and protect your rights and collect the money that should be given to you if you have products out there. And to protect you from anybody you've made deals with from stealing your money and only giving you pennies on the dollar when they should be giving you most of the money. Okay, you know, we're coming to the end of the show. Hey, and before we go into how I always end the song, I start with the, and my show basically the same every week. But for you that haven't heard the end of the show, starts with the lead guitar solo at the end of my song, my rock and roll party song, Are You the Party in Kind? I got a video out there on YouTube. Check it out. It's a party song, and you'll find out what party in kind people look like, I being one of them. And it happens to be the last bit of music in my Subway Fantasy 3. Yeah. The new rock and roll documentary out there, Subway Fantasy 3, spelled P-H-A-N-T-E-S-Y. Just Google it, Subway Fantasy 3, the regular number 3, you know? Subway Fantasy 3. And you'll hear it at the end of that thing. That's the last bit of music you're going to hear with a video behind it, just like you're going to hear right now, as right after I do the countdown, and that'll be followed by my anthem. I gotta be somebody? Definitely. I am somebody. Could be your anthem, too. And maybe it'll encourage you to be somebody if you aren't somebody already. Okay, Mr. Engineer, I want you to take us out of here now with the countdown. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Statistic. I don't want to be just a nobody. Gotta be somebody or I won't be satisfied. Gotta be somebody, feel alive. I don't want to be no John Doe. or how old it stands by. Gotta be somebody. Fill up or no, I was here, took my stand without fear, made it clear to the world my ideas. And all those people that had walked on by now stopped and looked, cause I caught their eye. Without fear, it is clear to the world.